At some point, a side hustle stops being a fun little earner, starts demanding to be taken seriously. More money is coming in, it's going well, and hey, yay! But that can turn into a curse if you don't sort out the system, get some visibility over it, and figure out what's going where. Today's letter writer dealing with exactly this good news, bad news situation. It's going well, but they need to figure out a proper system before it all collapses in a heap under the weight of its own success. So welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we take your questions, get them in front of someone from inside the money world, get those insider tips and tricks that can make all the difference. This episode of Making Sense is supported by Revolut Business, the account built to help you simplify your finances and scale at speed. Check out the link in the description to claim a one-month trial. I want to help as many people as possible reach financial freedom by taking control of their money, and you can help me in that mission. Two really easy ways. First, hit subscribe wherever you like to listen, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast player. Then send this episode to a friend so we can all level up our money together. Then the show grows, and I can keep giving you the money info that makes a difference to your life. James Gibson, head of Revolut Business, in the hot seat. Are you ready for the letter?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. All right. Hi, Francis. I've been working on a side hustle that's slowly turning into real money. The problem is, as it gets bigger, everything is feeling messy. Some income is from my job, some is from side work, but right now, it's all just going into my personal account, and I have no real system. I don't know what I'm earning properly, what I'm spending, and I'm getting stressed. At what point do you need to treat this like a real setup instead of just winging it? How do you structure all of that? When I love my side hustle, but I've never really been a numbers person. Thanks. Got to say, this feels like a good problem to have, even if it's a slightly tricky one. As things start growing, it does get a bit messier, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there are over 500,000 small and medium enterprises in New Zealand, and this is a very, very common problem to have. Most businesses start on the couch as we are now, someone thinking, oh, I'm going to start selling this, start doing that. And they kind of evolve from there. So it's incredibly natural for a business to start through running through a personal account. And then as things evolve, this becomes a little bit more messy, a little bit trickier to manage.
So when do you know it's a tipping point? Or I mean, really, should we have it started from the beginning? But when do we tip into, no, it's really time to go?
The tipping point really comes when it becomes a pain for you and starts to sap your energy. And I guess the problem is that you really don't want to get to this point where it's sapping your energy. You kind of want to sort things out before then. I think a good rule of thumb is if you're starting to transact over once a week, that's the point at which it will probably start to become a little bit more complicated to manage retrospectively, and also will start to rack up costs. And that's maybe when you want to start thinking about separating your finances.
Okay. What are some early first steps that can help?
I think the most obvious one is to open a small business account, literally separate into two separate accounts, your business activity and your personal activity. To some people, this will seem like a huge step. That actually is a very simple thing to do. And what it means is that every time you go and you're buying a coffee and it's a work-related coffee, you just spend on your work card. Or when you're giving out your bank details to a client to pay, but you give out your business details rather than your personal ones. And then obviously everything else goes through your personal account. So having that separate account is the first step and will lighten the load enormously for small businesses who are just getting started.
It's funny, isn't it? Where you, as you said, that will feel like a huge step for a lot of people. I feel like it's the moment where it's almost less of a financial step than a mental step, where you're accepting that this is legit, this is real, and I'm committing to it. Do you think that holds people back a little bit from making some of these quite necessary changes?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe people don't want to sort of tempt fate with the whole thing or kind of think that this is, they're being, making it more important than it is. But I would say now it's become so easy to open a secondary account. And with digital providers coming to the market, such as Revolut, you can do it same day. And so it's no longer this massive hurdle that you have to overcome. It's something you can go and do kind of on a Tuesday evening from your sofa, opening this account. So I don't think it has to be such a big hurdle as it would have been historically.
Yeah. And the flip side, what can go wrong if you do keep winging it past these sort of pain points?
there's a few things that can go wrong. So the first most obvious one is you can end up spending a lot more than you needed to on fees. These could be foreign currency fees or fees to receive payments from customers. You don't really want to do that. You don't want to realize that too late, that all your hard work is going in fees to your bank. It can also end up being a mess in terms of then trying to account for what you've spent through your business. And best case scenario, that just means a lot of time looking for receipts. Worst case scenario, your accountant saying, this is impossible to understand. I don't know what we're going to do.
Not something you ever want to hear from your accountant.
I mean, the good thing about that is probably to get to that point, your business is doing really well. But you know, if your business is doing really well, you don't want to be thinking about banking. So you kind of want to sort it out beforehand. The final thing is that some banks can also find, if you start to scale up the amount of activity you're doing through a personal account for your business, that can become a problem for them. They don't want you doing business activity through personal accounts for a variety of reasons. So trying to get ahead of the curve, as you start to see things ticking up, taking the hour or so to then apply, less than an hour to apply for an account to separate your finances, I think is a small investment and can really pay dividends in the kind of 1 to 12 month time horizon.
Yeah. And I think particularly if someone is doing something where it's a small business, yes, but currently a side hustle. So your time is already quite valuable. You know, you're quite crunchy on your time. And if you're spending all your time trying to then go through and figure out this money stuff, you're double handling. And is that really the best use of your time? It could stop your business growing, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the reader that you mentioned will be spending an hour or a couple of hours a month literally just sorting through receipts. Like, is that a good use of time, or could that time be used to actually be billing clients for producing work? And clearly it's the latter. So yeah, it becomes a real drain on your time. That also scales to larger businesses as well, of course. Like, the larger you get, the more drain it is on your time. But it's equally true for a one-person side hustle.
This episode of Making Sense is supported by Revolut Business, because you don't need to be an accounting expert to run a growing business. You just need the right tools. That's Revolut Business, one platform built for all your finances, including global payments, multiple currencies, expense management, all in one place. They've got really handy features, like from day one, you can issue corporate cards with custom spending limits, track every transaction in real time, and manage your cash flow with no surprise fees. Less time, fewer surprises, leaving you with more time to do the things that actually move your business forward. Over 800,000 businesses are already using it. Use the link in this podcast description to claim a 1 month trial of the basic grow or scale plan. Subscription fees and terms and conditions do apply. Okay, so when people are then looking at this and they're thinking, okay, I've got it separated out, different bank accounts, any other systems that they should look to get in place to make life a bit easier?
I think the next natural system after that is to have an integration with an accounting software, so you can really start to manage your books. And so, such as Xero, for example, this will be, as you start to scale and you bring on an accountant, this is what you'll need to have. And again, this is something where you definitely need to then have a separate account in order to facilitate that.
Yeah, I do think that's one of the beautiful things as we're in the sort of more digital online space. Particularly, I'll be interested to see what happens as AI becomes more reliable. Yeah. But you've got these tools that can track things for you automatically. And as we were talking about earlier, keeping your time really focused on the things that only you can do and that only you can leverage is so important, I think, to the future success of the business. Anytime you can pay a small fee, as you say, you do want to keep an eye on those fees, make them as small as you can, but a small fee to free up your time can be huge for that future business success, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing about all of this automation and AI advancements is they're starting to come into the banking realm now. And specifically for businesses, that's going to really transform things. As you start to scale up and you've got maybe more and more transactions, you need to start coding those transactions so they're ready for your accountant and pre-prepared. In products like Revolut Business now, we do that automatically for you. We leverage AI to make that work, or things like snapping receipts. And so then you can automatically link it to a transaction, so you don't have to go and do all of that synchronization later. These products can offer that now, such as ours. In the past, we've kind of treated, you know, it's SMEs and single person businesses like they need to have a basic degree in how to manage a bank account, and they need to be a bookkeeper in a way. And that's going to completely change as more and more of this automation comes in. And actually, all you need to do is open the account, and then the whole thing kind of takes care of itself for you.
I'm fascinated by this and where things could go in the future. Tell me a bit more about what you're using AI for currently, and do you see potential for more in that area?
Yeah, I think it's going to completely transform how businesses interact with their money, in that all the activities you do day in, day out, which require you to do some manual repetitive work, such as uploading receipts and matching them to transactions, such as pulling in bills that you need to pay and then pre-populating payments. I mean, even things as simple as typing in the amount in your banking platform you need to pay. Why should you have to type it in? Like, if you have a bill already, that should all be predefined for you. You should just be reviewing and clicking, yeah, go for it. And I think we will look at our bank accounts in, and businesses will be looking at their bank accounts in 5 years' time, and it will feel like a product that's in the 21st century. Whereas today, it really feels like we're still in 2005. You know, you are the one having to do everything. And I think you'll have a lot more assistance in the products of the future.
It's so interesting because I was just literally talking to someone about this an hour ago, where I was saying, you know, I love doing my business. I don't necessarily love running my business. And I think a lot of small business owners feel that way. You get into an area because you find it really interesting. You like the work, you start pushing for it hard, and you're like, I could do a career of this. Great. And then the actual running of it, like you say, becoming an accountant, yeah, I mean, not what I'm here for.
No one became a graphic designer because they wanted to become a bookkeeper. They wanted to be a graphic designer. So I think that's our job, is to take away all that hassle from customers so they can focus on what their business is, and we can make that as easy as possible for them.
So when this person is saying, you know, I'm not a numbers person, that to me, I'm getting a little hint of an overwhelm. So for someone who is feeling that way, how do we make this process more manageable and less overwhelming?
If you get overwhelmed by the thought of all of this, then that probably means that you should be separating things sooner rather than later, because then you don't have to think about where the transactions are happening and where your receipts are. It's sorted from day one. So my advice would be, if you feel overwhelmed by numbers, if you feel overwhelmed by banking, probably separating things earlier rather than later is the right thing to do.
Speaking of being stuck back in 2005, in New Zealand, we only just brought in open banking tail end of last year. Wild. we're living in the future, folks. But it, has that changed what businesses like yourself can offer? Has that changed the game for you?
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is in New Zealand, so I'm British, as you maybe can tell, the offerings to customers kind of reminds me of where the UK was about 10 years ago, in that it's pretty dominated by incumbents. There hasn't been a huge amount of progress. There's some great signs and some good tech companies coming along, but not a huge amount of progress. And I think what we see over the next 10 years is really a significant change in terms of what is acceptable to customers. There'll be a lot more digitization of these products. Fees will start to come down more. There'll be more choice for businesses, which I think is only going to be a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I love that we're getting already more competition. I just think it's really great and it really works out for people. Look, for this letter writer, if things do keep growing, we really hope. Sounds like she's on a great track. Is there anything else that she should be thinking about in terms of having that good visibility now, and any systems that she should be thinking about potentially bringing in the future if she keeps hitting that upward curve?
Well, as from speaking to a lot of Kiwi businesses this week, I know that expansion beyond New Zealand is something that's kind of hot on a lot of people's minds, and particularly moving into Australia or into Europe as well. And in fact, from our customer base in the UK and Europe, we know there's a lot of those businesses that have then other business, you know, subsidiaries or parent companies that are in New Zealand and Australia. So that may seem like a long way off, but for a lot of businesses I've been speaking to, they're already starting to set up second companies in either Australia or the UK, being the two, or the US in many cases. If your writer is starting to say they're going to be opening second entities in these countries, then thinking about opening bank accounts there as well is going to be the natural extension of that. And the great thing about Revolut Business is you can manage all of these accounts on one platform in one place. I would say expanding overseas and then having a kind of banking partner that you can scale with for that is going to be crucial.
Getting the infrastructure ready from the get-go.
Get the infrastructure ready from the get-go, exactly.
Love it. Thank you so much, James Gibson from Revolut Business. Now, I know we've got a lot of side hustlers on this channel, so if you have more questions along these lines, send them to us. We can do a deep dive for you. ask@francescook.co.nz is the email to send it to. We'll make sure it's on the screen and in the show notes and all that good stuff too. Until next time, have a great day.
This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most situations. It's not individual financial advice. If you're after that, a financial advisor is always the best bet.